No.
Well, blessing is kind of Python, so let's do vibration it. We strike this water with vibrations. How do we do that? We lift the lid off. We have to lift the lid off to expose the water, right? And then we all say Om on a certain key, perhaps.
We could also use a foreign language like Hebrew or Yiddish, and no one would know what you're saying, yet it could be very powerful.
Yeah, but then we didn't make it universal because we all couldn't speak that language. Yeah, we're creating a ceremony for the New Age. We would want to create a ceremony.
Those are special Hebrew words that work in any situation. Thank you very much.
Like Om, you just have to know how to pronounce it.
I speak in tongues all the time. I've got no idea what I'm saying. Just dumb happens.
Okay. So we lift the lid off, expose it to the zero point.
I love you.
This is the zero point. We have to find the right spot in the room. Different spots in the room have different energies. So which spot?
Stop. Right there.
Can we find the right energy and walk around?
We need our little wand.
Remember, it's not your spot.
Right there.
We need our urine.
Right there is the zero point. Can you see it? Okay, we found the zero point energy, and we're going to pour the energy into the bottle. Om.
Ceremony.
On ceremony, it pays to do something just a little unexpected. We did something just a little unexpected there. She was wondering, what the heck? It woke her up at least. And the trouble with a lot of ceremonies is that they almost put you to sleep. So in ceremonial magic, you go along, and you go along according to what everybody expects, and then you do something a little unexpected.
It's better than a slap.
I thought of that too.
Who was that motivational speaker that used to do that?
Tony Robbins. Uh-huh.
I don't know if Tony Robbins did that.
Tony Robbins. Come up, whack.
Hold out your finger like that. Put one draw for this. Good. Now rub your finger and thumb together. Now take your finger and put it on your tongue.
Sometimes you just have to cast out the non-believers.
He's
just trying to get someone open to the program.
So. Hey. Trying to see how many times
you
can do it.
That's the one where you said it. We should have Curtis over here. That's why I had you rub it off on your fingers so you wouldn't get too much of it.
Are you sure you don't want to switch?
Oh, I'm good.
You volunteered. Okay, we produce an effect here. But in ceremony, if something produces an effect that startles the person, it makes them think something must be happening. That's the message that's delivered to the inner self. She didn't like that. It was too hot for her. You know, a lot of people wouldn't think it was too hot, but you must not like hot food, right? You don't? Okay, well, she's extra sensitive to it. Okay. I should have said, who in the audience likes hot food? But I don't know if it surprised her or not, but it startled her. And something like this, if if something like this is introduced in ceremony, now it's probably not going to produce any results because this is more of a teaching about how ceremony works than actually using ceremony to produce results right now. But in the middle of a ceremony, if something happens that's unexpected, or maybe that stimulates the senses, or maybe you see something or taste something that's unusual, it makes you feel like something is happening and it rises expectations.
Warm hands.
Yeah.
The healers get warm hands.
Did you feel the warmth in your hands too?
No. Because,
yeah, if you... Let me see if you do it. Can. Don't put it in. Don't put it in your mouth again, but
right.
See if you can just put it on your thumb or your finger. Now see that you can feel the warmth. Rub it with your fingers.
What is it?
You don't feel the warmth?
Yeah. This is, you know, there's a kind of case like if you just walked in and you were like had a booth or whatever and you were trying to go, you know, you had this kind of thing. So you get her and you do that muscle testing thing and, you know, her arm's weak and then you go, here, you put a drop on her forehead. Then you do it and all of a sudden her arm's strong. Then she like, believes it. And that's what it happens with every single thing that people do. They put a magnet on you, they 0.1. It always seems to work, so I don't know if it's just somebody's will when they're like doing like a kinesiology thing too. But everybody like uses kinesiology, and everybody seems to be convinced by it, you know.
Yeah.
So that'd be like a kind of a demonstration where you get somebody then to something happen, all of a sudden the Armstrong is not easy to move, and then they think your thing just did something to them. And you know, we're sort of like joking and laughing, so of course it's not possibly going to work this first time around.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Muscle testing. I think muscle testing works best on people that are good subjects for hypnosis.
Well, yes.
Yeah, because under hypnosis, you can have the person actually diagnose himself.
Yeah.
Because his subconscious mind is kind of aware of a lot of things that's happening in his body. And so if they're a good subject and the guy says, listen, we're going to find out where the problem is through muscle testing, it's like a hypnotic suggestion almost. And so if the person takes that suggestion and tunes it in, then he can do this.
The little case of you not being affected or your guys not being affected, but all the other students of that other master being affected, same kind of expectation.
I remember the first time I was muscle tested, it was way back in the 60s. It was this guy at church. He was kind of the oddball guy that everybody was almost ready to excommunicate because he did oddball stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he bought this sugar. And he had several of us here, and he says, yeah, if you hold this sugar, it's to just show you how bad sugar is for you, put it in your hand, and then, you know, he'll go like that or something like that, and it really weakens you. And he did it with several people, and they were really weakened, and then he did it with me, and there was no difference whatsoever. He said, boy, that's odd. I kind of understand it. You know.
Maybe you need your sugar.
What'd they?
Maybe you need sugar.
Maybe so, huh? But,
I think, so you don't believe kinesiology?
Oh, I'm just saying that it seems to always produce effects. No matter what somebody's selling or pitching, they can always, like, kind of get it to work. I think it's, like, overrated, is what I would say.
James, I did that to James when I first met him. He's not a good subject for hypnosis, and I didn't tell him what I was doing. And I had told him to hold the cell phone near his body because I've always been told that when
I
had toxic radiation, I had him without the cell phone and he was strong. And I said, "Now put
the
cell phone,
but even in your expectation, it would be but you knew what you were doing. And if you
blessed
that cell phone,
go ahead.
His arm would still be strong.
You guys
you could take I saw somebody do it with a pack of cigarettes, week.
Yeah.
Person leaving the class just takes it, puts their hands around it, just blessed it, like prayed on it, put it back. Couldn't budge them. I swear it almost doesn't matter what you do, you can get that effect.
Oh, yeah.
And then I see people like pitching people for $1,000 courses right after that, or buying a laser pen that costs $8 for $195 to like swirl over your water.
JJ,
you know.
Yeah,
it's interesting you bring that up because we all have gone to Dr. Bashir's and he does muscle testing, and he's always frustrated with me because it never works on me.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Well, you're really strong.
Oh my God. Yeah,
he gets different results with me when he tries it. So I don't really know. Now Artie is a big believer in it because she does believe in it. It probably works better on her than.
Well, and I think some people have certain access. I mean, it's like they're a little yes/no kind of thing, and they like tuned in. And sometimes they stop muscle testing at all. They're just kind of like tuning into something. So I'm just saying that it's become a thing that everybody's adopted this universal proof.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's actually like mathematically proven science, and it just isn't. Doesn't. Well, it's not the same requirements.
It's more of a ceremony. Well, that's focusing the person's energy. Something.
Yeah, pendulum is different because in a pendulum you're actually tuning into the currents of energy, and dowsing especially, because the water, the movement of the water, and the water itself produces a current of energy, and so some dowsers can really legitimately find water by tuning. There are currents of energy. I mean, there's real energy that's already in circulation. And then there's energy created through ceremony. Ceremony, and what's the difference? In the fact that there's energy all around us, and the ceremony creates the energy through the principle of energy follows thought. And thought focuses energy and directs it. So ceremony focuses our thought so that results are produced. And just to revise Curtis here, the Mormon Church, for instance, has all kinds of ceremony in connection with healing. They're able to produce much more results with the healing than the other churches that don't have the ceremony because it channels their thought. And ceremony channels thought so that more results are obtained. So let's contemplate that a minute. What could we do to produce a ceremony that produces the greatest results? To produce the greatest results, you have to stimulate as much as possible on the physical plane. And what are the areas to stimulate?
Sight,
all the senses. Sight, and you create sight by different type of motions, or maybe you put the right arm to the square, or maybe you make certain signs. And by different things like this, the ceremonies of sight focus the energy. Now, how about sound? What sounds do we make to focus energy? The sacred word of Om is the one. Prayers, chants,
mantras
say the same thing over and over to channel energy. Yeah?
The breath.
Singing bowls.
Yeah, like
right.
Redo, like
the bowls.
Things that are sound.
The bowls and
drumming.
All these things channel energy through sound.
The soccer.
There's a religion, I think it's called Ekankar.
Yeah, the hue.
Yeah, they say hue. Instead of om, they say hue. Hue.
Using the same vowels.
Hue, Lori. Okay, we have sight, sound. What's next?
Tactile. Yeah. Taste.
How about smell?
Smell.
What ceremony uses smell?
Some of the Eastern
incense.
Incense.
All aromatherapy.
And they have aromatherapy. Have you heard of that?
Yeah. Even like the oil anointing, like in biblical times, you know, things like sandalwood and myrrh and all the frankincense, they all have various, you know, odors that are quite, you know.
Yeah. Aromatherapy is becoming quite popular. I would like to experiment more with that. That would be kind of a fun one. Okay, and then taste, which we just used with poor Lorraine here, who doesn't like hot things. It's actually liquid cayenne pepper and a liquid tincture. So cayenne's pretty hot. So that's why I had to rub her fingers together and put it like that. So she would just get a small amount, but it was still kind of overwhelming for her. She had to probably go wash her mouth out.
Let's say you had, you know, the hidden bottle, so the first one's water, and then you do, and then you slip in a drop of cinnamon oil or something hot like cayenne.
Yeah.
Then that there could produce this thing because they still think you're using the same bottle of water, and even though it's like a fabricated thing, yet they're
not letting them know. Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
because they think, well, something is happening.
Yeah.
It's different. Why is this different? If they feel that something is happening, then the energy follows thought produces the expectation of something happening, and then you have a high probability that something will happen. Now let's put all these together. The ideal ceremony then would be the one that uses the most senses.